I welcome you all here this day. It's wonderful to see so many faces out there. I ask, though, that you would pray for our brother here, that he would give us the message of the hour, that he would be led and guided by our Father above. You know, when you stand up here, sometimes it can be a very daunting task, but God blesses us in our efforts, and so I know he answers your prayers as well. So if you could pray for our brother, and if you could keep him in your thoughts and open your hearts and open your minds, I'll give you our brother, Elder Adam Yates.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning, brothers and sisters. So we were at the ranch last weekend, and I wasn't at the last priesthood meeting. So, you know, we're going to have a baptism later today, and as I was talking with Andy yesterday, earlier in the day, we were trying to figure some logistics out, and he said, well, who's preaching tomorrow? I said, I don't know. He says, well, I haven't looked. Well, I'd come over here yesterday evening to study a little bit with our brother for baptism, and I happened to look at the announcements, and I thought, oh, it's me who's preaching this morning. I'd already had some thoughts that had been on my mind throughout this week and throughout last week, that I knew that the Lord wanted me to share with His people. And so, I find that's so often the case, that when the Lord has something that He wants you to present, He gives you the opportunity. And so, with that in mind, I do have a message that I want to bring to you today. I know sometimes, we stand up here, and as ministry, we have this message, we have something that we want to bring, and sometimes it might be a little bit above some of our younger, some of the younger ones who are sitting in here, or all that, and this isn't a sermon for the children, but I will tell you that what we're going to discuss today is applicable to every single one of us. It's something that as parents we need to be talking to our children about and encouraging them about. It's something that I want us to consider as you go about in your life. And so I want to go ahead and begin this morning, and I'm going to have you turn, if you would turn, to the book of Luke, and we're going to look in the 24th chapter. And as I set this up, as you turn there to Luke chapter 24, let's, so you understand where we're at here in Scripture. In the 23rd chapter, here in this account that Luke wrote, Christ was crucified. And we understand, we know that particular story, and we also know that after he was crucified, he was taken down and he was put into the grave. And we know that as he was in the grave, he was in there for 3 days. And when, in the first day of the week, they went to his grave, and they went there and they found that the stone was rolled away, and they were greeted by angels. And we know the account that, Mary, she was visited there by the Savior. And so this is where we're at as we consider this, is that there was this resurrected Christ, and he had visited his people. I want to begin in verse 13, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 32. For those of you who are writing it down, and so you follow along. So beginning in verse 13, Luke 24, 13, and behold, and this is after, this is after Christ's resurrection. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. So we understand just what's going on here. These two followers of Jesus Christ, in that same day that Christ was resurrected, that they found the stone rolled away, they were going to a nearby city. And as they were walking, the two of them, they were talking about all of these things that had happened. This Jesus Christ who had came and taught and who died. And, we know that upon his death, there were these things that happened. There was a great calamity. There were earthquakes. There was lightning and thunder and all these things. Kind of like we were talking about in Sunday school today. Unprecedented. And so they were discussing these things. And as they were discussing it and they're walking down the road, unknown to them, this man walked up to them who was Jesus Christ. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They at that time hadn't realized that Christ had been resurrected. They didn't know it. So they were walking and they were talking about these things. Their Lord and Savior had died. And they were talking about it. And he recognized this and he asked them, "You're walking and you're sad. What's going on?" And one of them, whose surname was Cleopas, answered unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he saith unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. So they began to make this explanation to this man, unknowing that it was Jesus. And he's leading them into conversation here. You know, they said, "Well, you don't know what's going on. Are you a stranger? Have you been blind? Do you know what happened?" And they explained, "No, this is the man Jesus Christ. He was a mighty prophet. All these things had happened. And, you know, they went today to the sepulchre and he wasn't there. And we don't know what's going on." Verse 25, "And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" You know, this account, what a wonderful account here that these men, you know, they were at this time where they witnessed all these things and they were believers, but as they looked at everything that had happened concerning the death of Jesus Christ and you know, we recognize that, you know, the people, they didn't truly understand until he came and explained it to them, his resurrection, you know. Remember that when Mary Magdalene went to the garden and she saw that the sepulchre was open, you know, she went and she said to the gardener, she thought that Jesus was the gardener. She said, "If you've taken his body, just tell me where it's at. I'll take it." She didn't recognize. And these men didn't recognize. They were troubled. They were believers. They were going somewhere. They were doing something. And, you know, as they went in the way, Jesus came and he met them. You know, what I want to talk about today is this very fact that, you know, we serve a Savior who meets with us. This should sound familiar, Mike. We talked about this, didn't we? That we serve a Lord who loves us, who cares for us, and he meets us. You know, we look at this particular account and hear these men, they were troubled. These things had happened. They didn't fully understand. They were trying to figure it out. You know, they heard this testimony that, well, you know, they went to the grave and he wasn't there and they said he was risen, but we didn't see that he was risen in the grave. You know, we just don't really know what to do. And they're trying to figure it out in this time that was probably a little bit confusing, probably a little bit stressful for the Lord's people. And you know, the Lord met them. He met them. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Those of you who are at the ranch, you know, I read this scripture last Sunday before we took sacrament. And I want to consider it, you know, as I read this scripture, I really have been touched by this particular thought. Isaiah chapter 64, and simply we're just going to read verse 5. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5. "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved." You know, in this particular scripture, this makes this statement about our Savior, and it says that he meets us who rejoice. He meets us who work righteousness. You know, you look at that word meet. It says here, it says meetest. You look at that, and it means it's to come together. It's to come together. You know, the Lord comes together with us in our efforts to work righteousness. You know, I know sometimes the struggles that we come into in life, you know, because life is always full of difficulties and trials. Always full of difficulties and trials. And we're always challenged. Every day of our life, we're challenged. But you know, what I want us to take from this message that the Lord's put on my heart today is, you know, when we seek for the Lord, He meets us. He meets us. Let's look. Jeremiah chapter 29. And you know, that particular scripture in Isaiah, underline that. Underline it. Read it. Consider it. The Lord meets with you. He comes to you. He joins with you. When you seek His righteousness, when you remember Him and His ways, the Lord meets with you. He's there with you. You know, in the scriptures, when the Adam and Eve were made, you know, and the Lord created Eve for Adam, He says, I'm going to give you a helpmeet, right? Same word, maybe a little bit different, but what was it? It was something to help Adam. The Lord meets with us. He comes with us. He sees us in our troubles and in our trials. He meets with us. Jeremiah chapter 29. You know, I want you to consider today the deep love our Savior has for you. I want you to consider today the things that He does and He's done in your life to draw you close to Him. I want you to consider today that He knows every trouble and trial that's going on in your life. The financial burdens, the sorrow and the loss, the loneliness, the discouragement that comes. He knows it. He knows it. And His promise is He will come and He will meet with us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, there's this thing that I've sometimes found, you know, as I talk to people out there in the world, and you know, we talk about, you know, our relationship with the Lord. And how often have you guys heard these people who say, they say, you know, I prayed to the Lord and He didn't answer me, and so I don't even know why I do it. You know, as we look at what the Lord has told us, you know, He's given us the scriptures. He's put into place men to speak on His behalf by the influence of the Spirit so that we can understand. And we find this thing right here that is so essential. It says in verse 13, it says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, the Lord is looking for a dedication from us. And you know, it's always difficult. It's always difficult when we find ourselves in times of trial and trouble. You know, perhaps in those times of trial and trouble, we cry out to Him more. We do that. But sometimes it's hard to separate our feelings and all that with fully searching for what the Lord is trying to accomplish or what He can do for you. But we find here this promise is that, you know, when we seek the Lord, we will find Him. When it's with everything that's within us. What is our desires? You know, what, Mike, what do you want out of life? What do we want out of life? Do you believe that the Lord, He has thoughts for us and an expected end for us? Do you believe that? Boy, I certainly hope you do. I hope that you recognize, you know, that the Lord has a plan for you and He wants to meet you in it and to go with you. And to be a strength to you and an encouragement to you. So as you look and you consider this thought of the Lord, you know, how do we do this? Well, first thing is that we need to be seeking the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Turn to James chapter 4. And we all know this particular scripture. We know this scripture, James chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. This admonition that is given to us, beginning in verse 6, but God, speaking of God, but He giveth more grace. For He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He gives favor unto those who are humble. He gives favor unto those who look to Him for their guidance and for their direction. He gives grace to those who are willing to say, you know what, Lord, I submit to You. I'm not going to touch this anymore. I'm going to give these things to you because I recognize that you have a plan for me. And you know, if all I have to do is to be seeking your ways and your righteousness, trying to do the things that you've asked me to do, and you'll meet me in that. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Here's the scripture that we know so well. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, the Lord tells us, he gives us these things that he wants us to consider. How it is that we approach him and what it is that he wants from us. You know, he wants us to be humble. He wants us to be willing to submit to his will and to his word. To take those efforts to resist the devil as he tries to attack us. And it says that, you know, when we make this effort to draw nigh, to come near to God, he comes to us. He meets us. He meets us in the way. He walks with us. He comes to us. We got to cleanse our hands. We got to be watching the things that we're doing, what we touch, what we say, what we consider in our heart. But he says that he will meet us. He'll be there with us. You know, we all have these questions in our life. We all have questions. It never ends. You know, I have questions. Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? What is your role for me? You know, my grandparents in their 80s, they have questions. They still need the Lord's guidance. You know, the Lord can meet them in all those things. He meets us. He comes with us. He walks with us. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You know, I want us to consider this, you know, as I've been studying with our brother about baptism. You know, and we've been talking about this. That, you know, what we're going to do today is Mike is going to come and he's going to give this testimony to the Lord that I am going to be changed. And he's going to make that testimony to the Lord and he's going to take these steps towards him and the Lord is going to meet him with his Holy Spirit. He's going to meet him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He comes together with us. And he meets us in our efforts. Let's look at that. John chapter 14. We know these. In fact, I preached a couple weeks ago and I read these very things. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You know, this is the Lord meeting us in our efforts, and giving us a precious gift. The Lord meets us. He comes with us. You know, this is that drawing nigh to God, and he draws nigh to you. God with us. With us. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. Turn to 3 Nephi chapter 9. Page 655. You know, Jesus had come. He had met with the people. He had called ministry. He had talked to them about baptism. He had taught them. And he said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back tomorrow. Meet with me here. So the people came together. Those men that he had chosen, those disciples, the ministry that he had chosen, they came and all the people were there and they taught them. They taught them. And then these people, they desired to have this gift where God would meet them with his Holy Spirit. They desired to be baptized. And so we just read this, verses 10 through 15. 3 Nephi chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. These servants that Christ had called, it says, when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed at the Father in the name of Jesus, and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them, that God would meet them, would be with them. And when they had thus prayed, they went down into the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And when he came out of the water, He began to baptize, and he baptized all those whom Jesus had chosen. It came to pass when they were all baptized and had come out of the water, the Holy Ghost had fallen upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And behold, they were encircled, as it were, with fire. And it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it and do bear record. And angels came down out of heaven and ministered unto them. And we continue reading, and we recognize that this was what happened. That the people had this experience of God with them. He met them. You know, this is one of those things I want you to consider. You know, this isn't a sermon about sacrifice, but sacrifice is essential. God meets us in our sacrifices, doesn't He? When we give up something that's of importance or something that we put value on in order to submit ourselves to the Lord or to His will, we make this sacrifice, God meets us in those things. He meets us in it. You know, my brother and sister, they sacrificed. You know, they had a vehicle problem and they have to, you know, they got kids need to go back to school even though they don't want to. They got a job they got to get back to and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's a sacrifice to stay and to be here and to fellowship and to be strengthened and all that. God meets them in that. He's with them. He blesses them. He helps them in it. You know, this is the promise of God. I want to just consider this. In Sunday school, Aaron passed out scriptures and all that, and I pulled the one that I wanted to quickly read and just speak about here for a moment today. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Many of us probably know this by heart. You know, I saw it, and I know exactly what that scripture is. What a beautiful promise this is. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, I understand this. That many of you have these heavy burdens that you feel like is so heavy on your shoulders that it keeps you up, makes it difficult to sleep. You know, I've been bearing a heavy burden with my job, some things that are going on. Hey, I've lost 20 pounds in this burden. I suppose that's a good thing. It's heavy. It's a heavy burden. We bear these heavy burdens, these concerns of life, these concerns for our brothers and sisters, these concerns for our loved ones, for our health, for our finances, for our job, for our marriage, all of these things. You know, the Lord gives this promise. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We come to Him. We have this heavy burden upon us. And He meets us. And He says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, what a precious promise. What a precious promise. You know, the Lord is saying, you come to me. Come to me. Pour out your heart to me. Tell me your burdens. Tell me your cares. Share it with me. Share it with your brothers and sisters. Share it. Pour out your heart, and I'll give you rest. Do we know that? Have you experienced that? I'm certain every one of you here has. We've experienced that comfort and that peace that comes when we recognize that all we can do is pour out our whole soul to the Lord. I cannot do this without you. And we come to Him with our whole heart, and He meets us, and He gives us rest. We have to continue to do this and recognize this. I want to turn to 3 Nephi. I want to continue to talk about these things that the Lord has promised He'll meet us in, that He will be there with us, that when we approach Him, He will hear us and He will recognize us. You know, 3 Nephi chapter 5, page 639. You know, let's talk for a moment here about prayer. This is one of those things, you know, what a precious gift. That we have this communication with the Lord. And I want you to understand this, you know, that when we pray, it's not one-sided. It's not one-sided. If you consider your prayer life to be one-sided, as in I'm just throwing all this stuff out there, who knows where, then you're missing the point. you've missed it. You haven't considered the promise that the Lord has given us, that He hears us. He meets us in those things. I'll read a couple quick verses here, and then we'll turn to chapter 8. This is the Sermon on the Mount. We recognize this. Verse 97 and 98, Christ says, "When thou prayest, do not as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, He gives us this understanding here that when we pray, you know, we do it not to be seen, not because it seems like the right thing, but because we want to pour out our hearts to the Lord. You know, I think sometimes we consider this aspect of prayer only when we need something, but you know, we need to be taking this effort to pour out our prayer in thanksgiving. We need to be taking this effort to pour out our prayer in gratitude for the love of our Savior, of all of these things. You know, when it says that, you know, when we do these things, you know, he gives us instruction that you go and you enter into your closet. Well, I'm not going to go close the closet door and be in there, but what he's saying, you know, this is a time when you lift up your voice unto the Lord and when you want to meet Him there in prayer and in the Spirit, you know, that you shut things out. And you take that time to be with Him. You draw nigh to Him, and He meets you there. Those things that you pour out your heart to Him about, you know that no one knows, the Lord knows. How many of you have ever heard this or experienced this where there was something that you were praying about, you never verbalized it to anybody, and yet in a testimony, or a brother comes to you, or a sister comes to you, or it's over the pulpit and someone preaches, and there is an answer to exactly what you had been talking about to the Lord. You never mentioned it to a single person. The Lord knows. He hears you. He meets you in these things. Turn to 3 Nephi chapter 8. We know very well this scripture as well. Christ, He's talking to the people and He's giving them instruction and He's telling them, you know, you have this communication with Me. You will be heard of Me. And He gives us some direction and some instruction. Verse 50, page 651, and we're going to go verses 50 through 52. 3 Nephi 8, 50 through 52. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto His disciples, He turned again unto the multitude and said, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation." You know, there's a scripture where it says that. He says, you know, you pray that you enter not into temptation. He says it in other places. You know, are you praying that? Are you praying that as you go in each day, when you lift up your voice to the Lord and you ask Him, protect me today, be with me today, whatever I face today, would you be with me? Do you recognize that humble, honest, heartfelt prayer, that diligently seeking Him with your whole heart, that He meets you, that He will bless you, that He protects you that day, that He's going to be there with you. You know, I ask the Lord that every day as I've been going to work and all that. Lord, stand before me today. Keep me safe from danger, physical, spiritual. Speak to me if there's something that I should not do. You know, when we enter into this communication in our heart directed towards the Lord, He meets us in that and He blesses us. "For Satan desires to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, to separate you from everything else. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in My name, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in My name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." You know, He gives us this instruction, and He says, you do these things. You pray that where there is trial and tribulation, where there are challenges before you, you ask that I will be there, and I will be there. I'll meet you in those things. I will be with you. You know, we find these things in Scripture, you know, where the Lord fought for His people. You know, I was reading it earlier today, and as I was flipping through trying to find where one of the sisters was reading in our Sunday school, you know, and I read this thing about, you know, Elisha the prophet, you know, and here he and his servant, they're in this city, and they wake up and the city is surrounded by this army ready to destroy them, and the servant is afraid. And he says, you know, we better get out of here. We're going to be destroyed. And Elisha says, you know, Lord, help him to see. He says, you know, there's more with us than are with them. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw that the whole place was surrounded by angels. And they fought for him. You know, the Lord does this for us. He meets us in our struggles and our trials when we put our heart towards him And I'm going to keep saying that, and I want it to be so deep in your heart that you recognize that, that you know the Lord is with you when you are with Him, when you go towards Him, when you're trying to do those things in your life. He recognizes our weaknesses. He knows that we struggle. He'll be with us. Believe in that. Take comfort and confidence in that. Act on that. The Lord meets us. Let's turn to let's just turn back a few pages, 648. We'll read verse 8, 3 Nephi chapter 8, verse 8. Christ, He's speaking to the people. Well, we'll just go back a little bit. We'll go to verse 5, 5 through 8. When it came to pass that Jesus had thus spoken, He cast His eyes round about again on the multitude, and beheld they were in tears. And they did look steadfastly upon Him, as if they would ask Him to tarry a little while longer with them. And He saith unto them, Behold, My bowels are filled with compassion towards you. Have you any sick that are among you? Bring them hither. Have you any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, leprous, or those that are withered, or that are deaf, or that are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that you desire that I would show unto you what I have done unto your brethren in Jerusalem. And this is what I want us to consider here. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. You know, we recognize this aspect of faith, what it is, this belief in something that we may not completely understand or that we're not always able to see, but we recognize His working and His moving. You know, I just in the last couple days visiting with my brother Mike, you know, and he's been talking about this, these things that God has done. You know, He's done for him. And then he finds himself in a challenge and he gets frustrated and then he remembers back, you know what God did for me back then? He can do it again. This acting in faith. You know, the Lord is willing and able to do things for us when we meet Him with our faith. When we draw on our experiences and our blessings, when we cry out to Him, believing that He is, not fully understanding everything, but knowing that we have to go to Him. We can only go to Him. He meets us in our faith. Let's turn to James chapter 5. Familiar scripture here. James chapter 5, I'll read 13 through 15. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know, do we believe this? And do you recognize this? That our prayer of faith, the Lord meets us in. And He blesses us. And He hears us. And He encourages us. And He answers us. And it doesn't always mean that that affliction, that that trouble, that that thing is going to be taken away, but He is there with us. You know, I can tell you that in the things that have been going on in my life recently, you know, that have felt such great burdens, you know, I cannot tell you that there has been a single time, because there has not been, where I have cried out to the Lord where He hasn't been with me, where I haven't felt the comfort of His Spirit. He didn't take it away, but He's with me. He's met me and walked with me. You know, this is the Savior that we serve, the God that we love, that loves us so much. He is there with us. We draw nigh to Him. He draws nigh to us. Let's turn to Helaman chapter 3. And you know, I want to consider a couple of scriptures here that I feel like we need to remember. We have to remember this in our walk. Because if we don't remember this, we've completely missed the point. And I have just one verse written down. Oh, I have, I'm sorry, four verses written down here. It's on page Helaman chapter 3. Okay, that'll make more sense if I go to if I read my handwriting there. Okay, 578. And I'll just set up this story, because I'm obviously just going to grab a couple of verses out of it. But you know, this is a man, his name was Nephi, not the Nephi we recognize who came across from Jerusalem and all that. This is years and years afterwards, but it's a man who has that same name. He was named after the Nephi of old, and he was a minister. And you know, He was instructed of the Lord, you know, you need to go and you need to preach repentance to the people. And he went, and you know, the people grabbed him and they put him into a prison, and you know, he showed them signs and told them all these things. You know, you can read the story. But you know, here he went and he did what the Lord asked him to, and he suffered because of it. These miraculous things happened and the people let him go. You know, after all these miraculous things happen, the people who, some of them thought, well, you know, maybe we should listen to him. Some of them said, oh, no, we shouldn't. But he went his way. So I'll just read here. I'll read I got to finish setting this up. So then Nephi, you know, he begins walking home after all these things. You know, he'd been taken by the people and imprisoned, and he was under trial, and the people wanted to kill him and all these things. And the Lord worked in miracles and does all these things. And the people, they just let him go, and they walked away to try to figure out what was going on. So as he's looking by himself, well, I guess I'd better go home and see my wife. And he begins walking home. And as he's walking there, you know, the Lord begins to speak to him. The Lord begins to speak to him. And after all this, the Lord tells him this. In verse 124, he says, "Now behold," this is the Lord speaking to him, "I command you that you should go and declare unto this people that thus saith the Lord God, who is almighty, except you repent, you shall be smitten even unto destruction." Now, if you read this whole story, you'll recognize that he was already saying that. He had already done that. And the people grabbed him and they imprisoned him and all that stuff. You know, the Lord tells him, you know, "I need you to go and I need you to do this." Verse 125, "And now behold, it came to pass that when the Lord had spoken these words unto Nephi, he did stop and did not go into his own house, but did return unto the multitudes which were scattered upon the face of the land, and began to declare unto them the word of the Lord, which had been spoken unto him concerning their destruction, if they did not repent." And you know, we can continue to read there, but, you know, we'll just jump to verse 129. You know, and in between there, it says, you know, the people, they still didn't listen, but he went and he preached, and he told them, you must change. Verse 129, "But behold, the power of God was with him." God met him in this. He met him in his obedience. "The power of God was with him, that they could not take him and cast him into prison, for he was taken by the Spirit and conveyed away out of the midst of them." You know, I want us to consider this, that, you know, the Lord asks from us obedience to him. He asks from us obedience to his word. You know, we have the scriptures, and you know, these things, what are they? You know, we recognize them and we respond to them, and we teach it as these are the words of life. The words of life. What is it? You know, it tells us, you know, that we need to be conforming our hearts and our minds and our actions and our thoughts to the Lord. We find the encouragement, we find the direction, the questions of life, you know, the Lord has given us. And what does He ask us? He asks us, "Be obedient to me. Be obedient to the things that I have asked." You know, we read the scripture yesterday as we're preparing for baptism, you know, that this commitment that's going to be made later today by our brother, he says he's going to be obedient to the Lord's commandments until the day that he gives up this mortal body. He is going to be obedient. He is going to follow the Lord's word. And what is it that we saw about this? You know, this man Nephi here, you know, the Lord told him, "You need to stop, turn back around, and you go right back into this battle." And he did it. And what did the Lord do? He met him with power. He met him with strength. He was there with him in those trials and difficulties. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. My Bible does these things, the beginning and sometimes midway through chapters, it kind of gives a little title to these things. And, you know, yeah, some guy put it in there, but I like this. You know, chapter 4, it says, this is the summary of the covenant. The summary of the covenant. The covenant that the Lord was making with the people and that He asked them to make with Him. And I want to read here. I want to read verses. I want to read... We'll read verses 30 and 31. We can read verse 29 as well. It's very similar to what we read in Jeremiah earlier. I'll read 29 through 31. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, And all these things are come upon thee even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. You know, David in the Psalms, he makes this statement and he says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. The Lord has never forgotten us. Sit and think about the marvelous blessings he's given you in your life. Have you ever been forgotten? What does he ask of us? He asks us, especially those of us who have committed ourselves to him, that we would be obedient to him. That we would remember the covenant that we promised. That we would look to pattern our lives in the way that he asks us to pattern him after his after the life of Jesus Christ. And he meets us in that, that he will not forget us. That he won't forsake us or leave us. It's difficult to think of when you're in a trial and you feel like you're alone. But you know, if we feel like we're alone, we're only deceiving ourselves. He will meet us in the way. He will meet us in the way. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know, consider this, that, you know, as the people of Israel, they're wandering in the desert and all that, you know, they've just left this place of Egypt, which, you know, they were slaves, but they had a home and they had food and all these things. And now they're out wandering in the wilderness. And then the Lord begins to tell them all of these things. He begins to give them his law and the things that he expects for them to do. And, you know, he asks them some difficult things, which causes you to change the way that you think and the way that you feel. And so then he spends significant time encouraging them. Listen, if you seek to do what I want you to, I am going to bless you. You know, we serve a God who blesses us. He blesses us. We don't see many rich people among us, but money doesn't give is not indicative of a blessing. You know, what is indicative of a blessing? A peaceful, happy life. Not one that never has trouble, but one where you recognize the Lord is with you. Let's turn Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll read. Boy, I wrote down a lot. I'll do 11 through 21. But the land whither you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh the water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. For the eyes of the Lord are always upon it, in the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather the corn, the wine, and the oil. How does that apply to us today? You know, if we're willing to submit our hearts to change, to think, to act, to speak, because we love the Lord and we want to follow his word. You know, none of us in this room right here are farmers, but we all have jobs. We have things that we care about. You know, the Lord tells us, he tells the people, if you're willing to be obedient to me, I'm going to meet you and bless you in the things that you do. I will meet you in that. I will bless you in it. That I will give you, verse 15, I will send grass in the fields for your cattle, that they may eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, our world today is full of other gods, and they have all sorts of names. They have all sorts of names. Entertainment, television, movie stars, the stock market, 401k, welfare. There's these gods that are among us. The Lord says that I am your God, and I'll be the one who blesses you. You don't need to look elsewhere. I'll meet you in it. There are these gods that surround us. Don't worship them. He knows us. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from the good of the land which the Lord giveth you. Don't serve the other gods, because it will lead to failure. It will lead to failure. All these things that would turn you from his ways. There is no future. There is no blessing in it. Therefore shall you lay up these words, these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, it's something he's instructing them. You know, you need to consider this and think about it often. We need to be reminded. Why do you come to church? Because in the week that passes, you are surrounded and inundated by everything else in this world that would turn your heart away. And so he says, you know, consider these things often. Think about it. Think about the Lord. Think about what he desires to do for you. Consider where you're walking. Are you walking with him? And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Parents, if you are not frequently telling your children about how God has blessed you, you are missing the opportunity to help them to understand how God meets them in their troubles and in their trials, in their joys and in their sorrows. Speak of these things. Give honor to him. That's a commandment. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them as the days of heaven upon the earth. You know, this is the thing the Lord was trying to tell them and encourage them. Yes, I'm asking you to change your thought process, to change the way that you perceive things. But you know, there will be blessing if you seek to serve me. And you know, we don't serve God, and I don't want to give you the impression that we try to do and serve God and be obedient to his commandments because we're going to get something from it. That's not what it is. You know, there's a place in the scriptures where he asks the Lord, you know, where one of the writers, he asks, you know, have you tasted of the Lord's love? Have you tasted it? Have you felt it? Have you recognized the Lord reaching out to you? You recognize that when the Lord causes your tire to shred on the roadway and rip the bottom out of your car, that it's actually the Lord seeking to bless you out of his love. And so why do we serve him? Because he loves us. Because those people that are in my life who love me, I want to do good things for them. And as a benefit, the Lord meets us in those things. 1 Nephi chapter 4, page 45. This one and one more scripture and I'll be done because I know we have a busy day here. But I want us to think of just two more things here. Continuing in this vein of what the Lord is asking for us and he meets us in is our obedience to him. And Nephi, he has just finished, he has just had this experience where the vision that his father had, the rod of iron and the tree of life, you know, we know that. Nephi had asked the Lord, can you show it to me? I really want to understand this. And the Lord gave him that experience. And then he's teaching and he's talking to his hard-hearted brothers about this. But they ask him a question, verse 38 through 42. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw, which led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away unto destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed to the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul, with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. You know, what is this? This is this meeting of the Lord with you. He says, if you will hold fast to the Lord's word, hold fast to it, you grab a hold of it and you take it and you use it and it's active in your life. Okay, it says that you will never perish. There is eternal life waiting for you. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts, those things that Satan likes to do and comes to us in those times of quiet and he puts a thought in your mind or he puts before you a challenge or a difficulty. If we're holding to the Word of God, you know, those things are not going to lead us away. We're going to be able to see the path that the Lord has to get through all of these troubles and trials if we're willing to be obedient to his word. And so, you know, Nephi, with everything that was in him, he was urging his family, says, listen, you guys, you don't have to struggle. You don't have to be full of sorrow. You don't have to be weighed down with the sins and the trials and the things of the word. Remember to keep his commandments always in all things. Give heed to his word. It will bring you to salvation. I want to close in Revelation chapter 3. In the book of Revelation chapter 3. And I want us to simply just remember this. Where else does God meet us? Where does the Savior meet with us? Every one of us, we have to recognize this. We don't like it. It's fearful. It's all that, you know, someday we're going to stand in judgment, to be judged. We're going to stand before the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know, the Lord meets us there. Our Savior meets us there at that judgment day. And he confesses to his Father, this is my child. He's done everything he can to overcome. And this is my child. My name is upon him. The Lord meets us there at that judgment seat. We have a Savior who, out of His great love, He does amazing things for us. Yes, He doesn't take away every trial. He doesn't take away every trial. He doesn't take away every difficulty. But His promise is He'll meet us in those things. He'll be there with us. Like those men who are walking, not knowing everything that was going on, confused, concerned, afraid, you know, the Lord, He met them there. And He brought them peace and comfort and made them able to withstand the day. This is the Lord we serve. And so I want you to think about this. Consider this. You know, the Lord meets those that rejoice and that seek after righteousness and remember Him in His ways. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5. What a precious promise. So I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you consider that this day. I hope that, you know, as you find yourself, you know, we're not going to be free of trials. They're just not going to go away. How do we handle them? What do we do? How do we consider them? Consider the fact that the Lord is with you. God bless you.